Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, welcome to New Life Live. This is Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve today. And I am really lucky. I've got two great people that I get to sit with today. Yeah, Dr. Alice Benton sitting here.
Hello, fellas. Hi, everybody.
And she gave it away, fellas. Chris is the other one.
I'm here. I'm ready to roll.
All right. Well, we're going to have a good day. I know we are. I thought I might try to get a little bit of business done in this first short segment to free up what we can for calls during the program. So one of the things I wanted to remind folks of is we have a intimacy and marriage workshop coming up, and that's going to be in Columbus, Ohio, and that is going to be, how come I can't find the date, where is it? October 25th, so just a little bit later this month, and that's a wonderful workshop. I want to read you five real brief little testimony snippets from some of the folks who have attended. Because you don't want to miss this workshop. This workshop is unlike any other that we've been to, and we've been to 14 marriage workshops all together. Mm. Another, this gentleman named Doug said, I praise God for using you in such a powerful way. We had a breakthrough on an issue that had damaged our marriage for 43 years.
Wow.
I relate to that because Rhonda and I have been married 42 years, and I can't imagine having to deal with something that was that serious at that mark in our marriage. Next one, I had pretty much given up on my wife and my marriage, but I connected with my wife so much at the workshop that it's given us a new start. I came to New Life with a bucket of problems, and in 2 days I left with just a few. However, these few problems are manageable due to the tools given to me by New Life. My husband was going to move out, but after the workshop, he's committed to going to therapy to work on childhood trauma.
No.
And I'm committed to working on my communication with him.
You know, Larry, the truth of the matter is that when we work on the most essential relationships in our lives, i.e. our marriage, there is not another part of our life that isn't positively impacted by that.
So true.
And the return on investment is so incredible. In that the mood increases, the energy increases, the clarity increases. God has designed us as relational beings. And when we are relationally healthy, we function in all areas of our life better.
I don't know about you, but I've had times very rarely where I'd have, Ron and I might have a disagreement that we couldn't resolve before we come to work. And when I come to work and it's unresolved, I'm beside myself.
Yeah, that's exactly,
yeah.
I'm with you.
And we may think that we keep our disagreements and arguments from our kids. Oh. I have worked with so many people whose parents thought they hid those, and the kids were tremendously affected. Mm-hmm. So going to this weekend, it's a gift that gives to the next generation and the next generation too.
Yeah, so I just want to encourage you folks, doesn't matter what your desire is, a small tune-up with your marriage, or you're thinking separation and divorce, give it another shot. You will not be sorry. I want to talk about Club New Life real quickly. Here's what one gentleman said. We joined Club New Life because of something Steve said on the radio. He said, not all of us have the opportunity to help like New Life does, but our support might be part of saving someone's life, might help someone in a dire place save a marriage. That's why we gave. This is a way for us to share beyond how we try to serve the Lord in our local world. We serve in a marriage mentoring ministry, but how many will we reach? On the other hand, all of us support like this, how many will you reach through our extensive audience and platform? $30 a month, great thank you gifts for devotionals, which are, well, I'm going to tell you about those when we come back, and then we'll take our calls. We got calls waiting for us. But we're glad you're listening today, and we're going to be back right after this to start in.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we are back. I just wanted to mention Club New Life. If you join that, the thank you gift, we have four devotionals, 100 days of prayer, 100 days of peace, 100 days of character, 100 days of healing. And they are not just little paperback devotionals. They are leather-like, and they're colored, they're beautiful, they're a nice gift item. They're something you could display on your coffee table, bookshelf. They're just a great gift, and I hope you'll consider joining. If you want to make a one-time gift, we will send you 100 Days of Healing. That's just out. So let's move on and take a phone call. We're going to talk to Nora. Nora's on line one in Kansas City, Missouri, and your daughter told you about this program. How can we help you, Nora?
Hi. First of all, thank you all for doing what you do. It's very much appreciated.
Welcome.
And what I'd like to know is, to make it short and sweet, do you allow an adult son to live in and out of your home when he has admitted that he's addicted to drugs?
What drugs is he addicted to?
His drug of choice is meth.
Mm.
He lost a six-figure job due to that. And, of course, his dignity. And also, to top that all off, his girlfriend was burnt in a horrible fire.
Oh,
and he, unfortunately, had heard the screaming and everything that was happening at the time and tried to rush as fast as he can to help her, not knowing what was going on, totaled out his truck. And I don't know, but I have to wonder if that hasn't, that happened a year ago this weekend, actually, if that hasn't also caused more trauma.
Yes.
To add to the problem.
Without a doubt. And Nora, how old is your son?
He's 42. And he didn't even start this stuff. He wasn't even a smoker or a drinker or anything until he got in his 30s.
Okay. And then, so he's admitted to this. Is that correct?
Yes, he has admitted.
Okay.
Yes.
Is he willing to get help?
He is willing to get help. Unfortunately, he also lost the place he was living, and I said, if you want to get clean, come up here, you know, and we'll figure out what to do and find a place for you. Because when he's having his, I guess you'd call it fits of anger or anxiety, he'll say, I need help, you know.
Yeah. Well, let me jump in, because like the initial response to the question is, do I let my meth addicted fill in the blank live with me? The answer is no. But I want to back that up a little bit, because if he's willing to get help, and he's going to need a lot of it, I just want you to understand this. Meth is an incredibly, incredibly dangerous drug. As it takes over a person, they will violate any and all boundaries without consideration of who that person is. One of my first guys that I treated with a meth addiction called it the devil's drug.
Mm.
And so And I didn't know what he was saying until working with many people who struggle with that since then. So I just want you to know, having very, very, very strong boundaries and expectations with follow-through are critically important if he's going to live with you. He's got to get engaged. I would prefer he go to treatment if he's dealing with something with meth, and something that would be trauma-informed treatment as well. Can he get in, can he get into and we have resources here that we're connected with treatment centers that he can connect to and get into.
The problem is we've called, his sister and I both have called several places. Unfortunately, most of them want $30,000 or more.
Yeah.
And that's just not something that, of course, he has, and we're at retirement age, and actually not something that we have.
Okay.
Nora, is he getting help already, or he's saying he will get it if he's allowed to live with you?
No, what he's saying is that he's willing to go to rehab, but unfortunately, we don't know where to get him to go, and it's been 4 months since he's been staying in and out of my home. But then he'll leave, you know, after 4 days because the withdrawal is so strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I'm sure he goes someplace and does what he needs to do and then comes back and sleeps for 4 days and then goes back.
Does he have medical insurance?
No, because he doesn't have a job now.
So, Nora, there is an option. But first, I want to acknowledge that, oh, your mother's heart must be so torn about how to help and when to help. But you're asking a great question about enabling, and I agree. If he's allowed in and out and in and out and he's not getting treatment right now, then your home is enabling him to continue to use and to be a little too comfortable, honestly. He's lost so many major things in his life, and it sounds like he needs to lose even more, that he still hasn't felt enough pain to stick with help, even free help. So I want you to think about the Salvation Army. There are some in your state, in Missouri, and they have an adult rehab program where folks are allowed to live in their program for at least 6 months. They have to work while they're there. It's a Christian-based program. They have to go to meetings. They have to get counseling. They don't pay to be in the program, but they pay by the work that they do. And then there's even they're allowed to do work afterwards. So there's an in back into the business world. It's very hard, but I think requiring a program like that rather than allowing your house to be a resting place will be for the long-term good of your son, although I doubt he'll like the idea.
So do you tell him either you go get help immediately or you're on the streets?
Yes. Like that's the hard thing. But what will happen is that this pattern will not change.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And you can let him know, son, I've decided that it's not good for either of us for you to stay in my house anymore at this point. But I love you so much, and I've got a rehab program I found, Salvation Army, and I'm happy to take you there. I don't want you sleeping on the streets. Mm-hmm. You can call ahead. You can find out if they have an opening in their program. So you're not saying there's nothing I'll do for you, but you're saying, son, this is what I'm able to do, and this is what I'm not able to do. And then you've got to let him accept or reject your offer, but stick to your offer. And that's not easy. That is not easy.
Thank you, Nora.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling us. Take your life back, maybe for the son?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also understanding and loving
there
a person
you go.
With
Absolutely.
Substance abuse.
Okay, we'll do that.
And substance. Yeah. So, and I just want to mention, you know, that I find so often that when people are met with desperate situations, the resourcefulness that they found to pay for drugs is the same resourcefulness they can find to pay for treatment and rehab.
Yeah.
So it's out there. And so, again, if you're struggling out there and we're connected with counselors, we're connected with treatment centers, give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE for help. We can help
Perfect.
You with this.
Thank you.
And when your child who's in addiction tells you, You're a hateful mother. You don't love me. How could you do this to me? What kind of mother would leave me out on the street?
That's the drug talking.
It is. And then we parents need truth from safe, loving people around us to keep us strong in the face of those accusations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Okay. Well, we're going to move on. We're going to talk to Andrew. Andrew's on line 4. He's a Club New Life member, listens on our podcast. Hello, Andrew. How you doing?
Hey, how are y'all?
Doing good. How can we help you?
Good. So I don't really have a question today. I actually have a little bit of a story for you guys. I just called into the New Life Helpline to kind of tell a story, and they were like, well, we're filming a radio show, so call in there and tell you. Here we are. Kind of the background here is this morning my wife and I were able to give a little bit larger of a donation than normal to New Life. Not a normal donation, so we wanted to call, and yeah, of course, but we wanted to call and kind of give the backstory because it's significant to us, and we want it to mean something, which it does. But kind of give you the background. About 3 or 4 years ago, I blew up our life with a pornography addiction and an affair, an emotional affair. There was a lot there. Worst part about it is I was in the military at the time, and it was with other members of military, and long story short, God wasn't content to let us just stay in that area. So I did get caught, blew up the life, lost my career in the military, unfortunately, and my wife and I ended up separated. The house we owned and were living in South Dakota, which is a key part of the story, you know, we couldn't afford to sell it at the moment, but I couldn't stay living there either. So I had to put it up for rent and kind of became a landlord of it. But in about a year's time, I lost my wife. We separated. I lost my career that I worked really hard for. I lost my house. I had to put it up for rent. I lost all my friends up there.
So what changed things?
And so I got... Well, I was already associated with, it's kind of a long story, but I'll save you
the short version.
I already knew of New Life. And right, I already knew of New Life, and so I went to a weekend. I went to the Everyman's Battle.
All right.
And got into recovery. Fast forward 3 years later, my wife and I are reconciled. We're back together. We're working through reconciliation and recovery still. Still going to counseling. I'm on a sustained victory call. Things are going really well. We live down here in Atlanta, Georgia now. But to kind of wrap it up, why this donation is significant is last month, 2 months ago now, we were able to sell our house in South Dakota finally. And we really wanted to take 10% of that, of the proceeds of that. And what we want to do is we wanted to turn around and tell New Life, thank you very much. Here's a donation, and we gave it to the scholarship fund because to be able to fund other people to be able to walk the road, the difficult road that we walked on with y'all's support.
Wow. That's
awesome.
So, like I said, it's not a normal donation. We wanted it to be clear that this is our way of turning around and saying thank you to New Life and to anyone else who needs help. We want to be able to help you guys reach where we're at now as well. So,
well, thank you, Andrew. It's why we do what we do, and you're
so
such an encouragement to hear a story, and it's not just last week I went and I'm feeling on high. This is years later, and you guys are back together, still working at it, but doing well.
There's a key component that Andrew mentioned that I don't want it to be overlooked, and that is not only did he go to Everyman's Battle, he stuck with it with the sustained victory.
Big deal.
The doorway is the weekend. The work begins afterwards. And, November 1st, here in Orange County, in our backyard right here, is our next Everyman's Battle. And God writes one story, at least one storyline, and that's redemption. The details are wild and always unpredictable.
Yep.
But the theme begins. And so there's so many guys out there, people struggling with this horrible, horrible secret problem, and it is taking your life down. And so if you decide to walk through this doorway, God will start writing a phenomenal story of redemption. Jesus is the author and editor of our faith and our journey. So check us, just come. Just make the decision to do it. Orange County, November 1st, Everyman's Battle.
And the rate of redemption is typically faster than how long it took for you to get into the mess you're in.
Absolutely.
So there's hope. We're going to talk to Kay and see if we can get a question to ponder here when we come up on a break. Hello, Kay, Vancouver, Canada. How can we help you?
I'm super nervous.
Okay, you're only talking to three of your closest friends and a few hundred thousand other people.
Okay, the situation is my husband of 15 years, I think 6 or 7 years, 8 years into the marriage, he started texting and emailing two of my daughters. This is my second marriage, making sexually explicit advances. And it came to me, and it hurt badly.
I can imagine.
He went to every man's battle, but he didn't change. And then, early on in our marriage, he used to rape me, kind of in my sleep. I was taking medicine.
Oh my goodness!
And I'd wake up, and
well, it's okay. Okay, catch your breath. We're going to take a break. We're going to hear this a little more of this story and get your question the other side of what we just heard. So we'll be back.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realize that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 15th to the 17th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. We're talking with Kay, and Kay's has a very painful, difficult situation. And Kay, is your husband still in the house?
Yes. We call ourselves separating in I think March of this year, and he was only out for like 4 or 5 days. I felt sorry for him, and he didn't like where he was staying. And I put him out that time because then he made advances towards my granddaughter, who is 8.
Oh my goodness!
And so I don't feel safe. I feel like I have to always police him.
Well,
I won't leave her.
Police is a word you might want to consider, Alice.
And Kay, your 8-year-old granddaughter lives with you.
Mm-hmm.
We are so concerned for you and your safety and their safety, and we're worried that him being in the home leaves your granddaughter, especially, but all of you women, unsafe. And we think a really strong, bold move needs to be made today to get you safe. There are a couple of different options there, but let me first ask, what is your question for us about what's going on? And
how do I reestablish safety. I'm always like on pins and needles, you know. Like,
yeah.
I've told her when she came to me, I told her he's not safe. That's not of God. And I told her in front of him, if it ever happens, you know, he didn't penetrate or anything, but would hug her inappropriately or say, this is our secret, or try to put her on his lap or whatever, and it made her feel uncomfortable.
Okay, I hate to say this, but that's only...
911.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
You called 911?
I told her to call.
Mm-hmm.
No, I told her immediately call 911 and then tell me if he ever makes you feel uncomfortable or tries anything again.
Kay,
in front of him.
Listen to me.
Yes.
You're expecting an 8-year-old girl to call 911. That's your job. You need to make that call, and you need to make it today.
Well, I know. That was like if I wasn't...
No. Listen to me.
Okay.
Listen to me. You're stuck in a really, really tough position, and I know your fear is running the show right now, but this is crucial. The only way to get safety is to get away from him. And what he has done is he has committed a crime. I want to make sure that is crystal clear. And so the next call after us should be to 911. I know it's hard. Is there a place do you have a place where you can go? Is there a shelter? Is there a family member? Is there some place where you and the kids can go?
I wouldn't be going. I would be putting him out.
Okay.
I wouldn't be going. He would have to go.
Okay. Because he may be going in handcuffs.
His advances against minor children, his sexual advances to minor children,
and his rape of you.
Okay.
And I hate to say this, Kay, but you only know what you know. A perpetrator is so good at hiding behavior. And so we have to assume it's worse than it is, because this kind of behavior doesn't stop with what you know. There's so very likely more, and that's an awful scary thing to say, but you need to know that so that you take action to get those girls safe, because they are not safe under the same roof with him, even though you're there. It's still not safe. Your presence hasn't stopped him from making these moves.
The other two are adults, so they're not under the roof anymore.
Okay.
One was 17 when it happened. The other one was 23, 20-something. They're no longer under the roof. It's just the granddaughter.
But the 17-year-old was underage when it happened.
Yes.
Yes, and that was problematic for me.
It should be. But will you take a step? Are you... I'm feeling a little bit of a hesitation here.
No, my house is usually the safe haven, and I don't like feeling unsafe in my house, especially with children.
Well, just getting him out probably isn't the best solution, because getting him in the hands of the authorities that can deal with this will take him off the streets from doing this with other people, too.
And honestly, Kay, bringing in the legal side of things, bringing in the police, bringing in child protective services, not only is it for your safety and the safety of the 8-year-old especially, but that is what will lead to him being forced to get the help that he needs. He's sick, and EMB is good, but he needs more, and he needs to be in continual help. A weekend is certainly not enough.
Especially if he didn't follow through with what was offered for sustained victory. But you're right. There might be an intensive thing that he needs, even residential.
He did disclose to me that when he was a kid, he heard his father for many years repeatedly rape his sister, which was his dad's stepdaughter.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
And so it's ingrained in there. With my girls, there hasn't been any penetration or touching. I'm trying my hardest not to.
Hold on, that you know of. I want you to finish that. You don't know that he hasn't done these things.
These are signs of a pedophile.
Yes.
And of a sexual abuser, and we've got to treat it that way.
And we're so glad that you called to get the right advice and help. And I hope that you'll take action and protect yourselves and your daughter and your granddaughter. And it's just not easy. You know, it's we got to do some tough things, make some tough decisions once in a while. And we'll be praying that God protects you and surrounds you with His Holy Spirit. We'll be back.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back.
Larry.
Yes.
Can I ask all of our listeners, please, please pray right now for that 8-year-old. Mm-hmm. And that what we've talked about and what we do after the show will be enough to get her protected.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to follow up with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Let's talk to Pamela. Pamela's on line 6, and she listens. She's a Wavewood listener in Heightsville, Maryland. How are you doing, Pamela?
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
How y'all doing? Can y'all hear me?
We can hear you just fine. What's your question for these brilliant people here?
I listen to Dr. Henry Cloud.
Yeah.
And he always telling people to stay away from toxic people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I still have a lot of toxicity inside of me, but God is redeeming me. However, you know, I thought everybody was toxic, and I thought Jesus moved towards toxic people, not away from them. And I noticed that I don't have any friends. And it seemed like when I do get people into my life, they always leave. And, you know, I mean, I came a long way, though. I really did. I'm in 12-step program. I go to a lot of different church events and social gatherings and stuff. And, you know, in the 12-step program, one time I didn't talk about myself, but when I went to the 12-step program, they say, talk about you. Now when I talk about me, and it seemed like I get kind of rejected. I think I'm trying to find like a balance, and it's hard. I struggle with building relationships. I'm struggling with
Pamela,
socializing.
Pamela, when you're a kid, who was not there for you? Who left you?
My mom and my dad. You know, and I grieved the loss of the relationship that I didn't have with my parents.
How old were you when that happened?
Well, it started in the womb. My mother tried to kill me when she was pregnant with me, so I was abandoned in the womb. that's how it started. And then from then on, it was just a lot of violence in my family. Oh. So I grew up in toxic environment.
Yes.
I really did.
So hear me out just a second. When we grow up in such violent, toxic environments, we take our external pain of our world and we make it internal. We make it about us. There must be something wrong with me. And so people leave me because there's something wrong with me, and that's called shame. And so then we become really, really sensitive to that, meaning that we have like this pair of glasses that we have on, maybe our abandonment glasses, as a result that I'm not worthy. So I'm unworthy, and so I see everything through the unworthy lens.
And I know I have those false beliefs that I'm not worthy, I'm not loved, and I'm trying to like be transformed by renewing my mind.
Yeah, good.
So I do say that God loves me, I am worthy, God, you know, He sent His Son to die for me. I'm using affirmations and everything, but still it's like it's a long, slow process.
It can be. It absolutely is. And what's been damaged in relationship also gets healed in relationship. So I want to encourage you to stay with the groups and stay with it. And we're going to give you some resources here as well. But Alice, what do you think?
Well, Pamela, I want to acknowledge that loneliness and isolation and the sadness I hear the tears in your voice. You have been through pain since the moment you were created. Mm. You've been through pain from the people that were supposed to protect you the most and love you the best. And what's amazing to me about you is that you aren't giving up on people because you would be justified to give up on people. I think you are correct that Jesus went towards toxic people. And at times in our lives, we are called to engage with toxic people. But it also depends on our strength and the self-protection that we have. For instance, if we've struggled with addiction, it is probably not safe for quite some time in our recovery to be around active users. But God also calls some of us to become a counselor to other users so that once we're strong and we have our base and our foundation, we are called to go back out onto the mission field. But we need the safety and the healing, and we need to check our people picker. Because when we've been hurt like you've been hurt.
My picker is broke. Yeah, picker is so
there
broke.
You go. There you go. So
I pick people like my parents.
Now, I got to challenge that because you pick people also that are also like your parents. Oh, of course, we are drawn towards the kind of people that wounded us. And if we're not getting healthy in the process, we are re-wounded. Victims are actually very likely to be victimized again and again and again unless we break the cycle and get the help. So I agree with Chris.
I didn't break the cycle.
Well, groups are net.
I didn't break the cycle.
Okay, you're doing a lot of the right moves already. And I agree with Chris that groups are a huge part of the help. And you may need a therapist-led group. You may need the safety of a professional being in the group room. Mm. CR is fantastic, and that can also be a big help. Our New Life groups are great, too, and some of our New Life groups are led by counselors, and I think you may need that to get feedback about how you're picking people and how you're interacting with people and what is keeping you vulnerable to being hurt by toxic people. And then as you're in your recovery process, and probably with a therapist, too, who's really guiding you step by step and walking you through that pain we still hear in your voice, God may call you to minister to toxic people. Mm-hmm. But get enough of the healing and the support and the foundation first.
And, Jesus was drawn to toxic people, but I think they were equally drawn to Him. And those weren't the people that He hung out with the most. They weren't His close buds.
Mm, that's a good point.
And so,
so
it's not that we shouldn't ever be around toxic people, but that shouldn't be our mainstay of relationship.
Right, I got it. I understand that.
And I think it's just important to understand what is toxic and what is healthy.
Yeah.
And sometimes if we didn't grow up in healthy environments, we don't know what health is, and We may not have the right words or the language and the labels to put towards what is toxic. And I really think that a book like Safe People really helps define what is healthy and what is unhealthy or even toxic.
We'll send that to you, and hopefully that will help you, Pamela. And, you know, we're all sinners, but we're all not toxic. So there is a distinction.
We all not toxic? I thought we all were toxic.
No, we are not all toxic. Take that out of your mind.
Everybody was toxic once in their life, and then they grew, and God redeemed them, and now they're not toxic.
Well, we maybe have had, it's the identity. Who, you know, think about your identity. Your identity is in Christ. Your identity is in...
Some people were more severe than others, but...
Okay. Thank you so much for your call, Pamela.
Thanks.
We appreciate it.
Larry, I want to address the spiritual side of this too, because when a soul has been under this much torment and attack since conception, it is really worthwhile to begin praying boldly against the enemy and against his attacks on Pamela and her life and her relationships, because he loves to work to keep us isolated from healthy people that will draw us closer to God and help us to become who we're supposed to be.
Good point. Yeah, I like that a lot. You know what? I want to go to another call before the break, too, see if we can get somebody here. Dan's on line 4 and listens on Sirius XM, lives in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Hello, Dan. How can we help you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I've had a lot of things happen in the last year and a half. 11 years ago, when my wife was 59, and she's 7 years older than me, she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And for 10 years, we lived with Alzheimer's. The last 3.5, she was in a nursing home. And it was only through God and friends and our church family that I kept her at home that long. So a year ago she passed away, 3 days after her father passed away. And I was actually having surgery at the time. It's just a lot, but my question is, as much as I loved her and as much as I miss her, I haven't cried. Somebody else kind of counseled me that I was crying, and I did cry in the beginning of that 11 years, that's when I did my grieving. I'll go with that, except I don't feel at all rejuvenated.
Okay. Well, we see what your question is, and we'll talk about this after the break. I want to remind folks, we're here for another hour. So call us at 800-229-3000, and we will finish up with Dan right after this.
She said, "We need to talk." She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back and we're talking with Dan. Dan is, his wife fought Alzheimer's for about 10 years, and about a little over a year ago she died, and he's asking why he didn't cry and what, is there something that we can help him with? What do you guys think?
Dan, over the break, we were talking about you and your situation and just imagining what those 10 years were like to lose your wife slowly and yet still have her there. And now you've lost her in her passing. And grief is so individual and so complex. There are many people that don't cry. You're not alone in that at all. There are also different stages of grief. There's a stage of shock, and it can last months. It can even last years. There's no timeline for grief. It is very individual. Dan, we thought we heard some tears in the edges of your voice as you were talking with us. And sometimes the tears come when we get to talk through the story and the memories and what we miss about our loved one. Sometimes the tears come in the presence of safe people when they give us the room to begin to grieve, or even just to be open to grieve.
When do you remember last crying about anything?
Oh, it was probably at the beginning of our journey.
When she first was diagnosed?
With the Alzheimer's. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm just not great.
Yeah.
Dan, are you intentionally talking to people about your grief and about the loss of your wife and the changes in your life?
Yes, I have. An unfortunate thing during that time, we have two grown sons. Very successful, so successful that their jobs took them out of the country for 4 or 5 years. And so they weren't, I always felt bad that they weren't here to share in their mother's last time. They were as helpful to me as they could be from afar and still continue to be.
Yeah,
I couldn't ask for better. But I don't know, it's tough.
Do you worry that your lack of tears is dishonoring of your wife, or it means you somehow didn't love her as you should have?
I think I do.
Yeah.
Have you done any group work? Have you been in a grief group?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
You might consider that, because you might find some other folks with your same experience and the folks with not your same experience, but grief is a funny thing. It's not linear, and it jumps all over. You'll be angry one minute. You'll be crying another minute. You'll be trying to cut a deal with God another minute. It's just, it's all over the board, and it comes on you. And so you need to do some work on grief.
Yeah. Well, and Dan, I hear that you, I actually hear a lot of health and a lot of awareness in you. And I also want
you.
I want you to be able to trust the grief process It has a life of its own, as Alice and Larry were alluding to. And so what I want you to be able to do is, one, find safety in yourself, because we put a lot of shoulds. I should feel like this. I should be like that. And those are completely unhelpful, to be quite honest. And what we need is a great level of acceptance. It's actually the final stage of grief. But it's acceptance of where you are. And I would bet that as you give yourself permission to feel what you feel and be where you are, and you're still early in the grief process as far as your wife just passing away 1 year ago, that as you find safety in yourself, whatever you need to feel will come to the surface. It will emerge, and you'll just keep walking through this. And again, grief is one of those things where we don't feel like ourselves and we question ourselves. And so acceptance is really, really important in the process. And again, as Alice and Larry were talking about, having other people share those experiences as well normalizes where we're at.
Dan, I'd also ask you to keep talking too about the guilt that you feel, and the fact that you weren't there right when she died. You were in surgery. There's complicated.
No, I was out of surgery for 2 days. I did get to be there.
Oh, you
no,
did.
That's great.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You had a question
and
you
I
were
gave,
asking.
I gave her
You gave her permission to let go. Is that what you were saying?
I gave her permission to die.
Yeah, good.
And, you know, and it was fine. It was as good as it could be.
Well, good.
Well done.
Dan, Henry Cloud and Joe Hubbard did a perspective. We have it on a CD, and it was about grief, and it's really good. And I want to send that to you along with a little book that we have that's a transcript from a video on our that we did, a teaching video on grief, and we're going to send that to you. And I believe that you're going to get through this, and I think you'll find some tears. You know, one thing, I don't think this is your issue, but one thing I want to say to our audience: Henry Cloud said something once to me that I thought was really profound. It's really simple. He said, "You know, God put our tear ducts right in the front of our face and our eyes. He could have put them in our armpits." So, I talk to guys at Every Man's Battle about this. Don't be afraid to cry. You know, it's healthy. It's cleansing, and the tears sometimes have toxic things in them that you're releasing. So, we'll pray that you find the tears and that you just work through the grief and don't get too hung up on the tearing process.
You know, my mom died a year and a half ago now, and I only cried at her deathbed, and I've never cried since. Ooh. And it has also made me question myself.
Yeah.
So I keep talking about her. I keep expressing that I do miss her and I love her, and the tears just aren't there.
Yeah.
I think part of it can be our belief, too. I know where she is, and I know I'll get to see her again soon. She just got there first.
That's interesting. I really wept when my father died. A year later, my mom died, and it wasn't much weeping. A little tear, but not that kind of a grief. So grief's a funny thing.
It is.
You know, I want to remind folks that we have a captivating Rhine River cruise coming up. It's a year from now, September 28th, 2020. And Stephen Milan will speak on it. Our theme is Psalm 145, Proclaiming God's Greatness. There are 78 cabins on the boat. We've chartered the entire thing. And we got like 30 left to sell. And I don't want somebody to miss it. I know what's going to happen. I know as the new year comes in and this thing starts to get filled up, somebody's going to call and say, "Sorry, the cabins are gone." And I don't want that to happen to you. So please consider that. I also just want to let you know that what you hear on the radio here, there's whatever you're dealing with, call us at 800-NEW-LIFE. 800-639-5433. And just call and seek help, whatever it is. It could be something you heard today on radio. It could be depression, anxiety, anger, fear, any kinds of things. But we're here to help you, no matter what your issue is. And Chris mentioned Every Man's Battle is coming up November 1st right here in Orange County. And we also have the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop. I don't want to forget about that. That's October 25th. no matter what your issue is in marriage or if it's just want a tune-up, come and see it. Remember, we had this lady that wrote us, said she'd been to 14 marriage events and had nothing like this one. Her experience was amazing. We love what we do here. Have hope. You know, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. You can have hope, and then we hope we can get some of that out into you by helping you solve your problems. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.